Life is a state of mind.
What's the most you ever lost on a coin toss?
You don't play by the same rules.
Sue me for having a life.
Let's talk about something important.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Good morning, friendo. AM 770, KTTH, Brian Suits here. Well, well, well. The chickens, speaking of chickens coming home to roost, how about that? Did you see the big cockfighting bust in Eastern Washington? And so Pierce County has all the roosters.
They got them all.
If you want a free rooster, and you got to know how to manage a flock, get in line behind me on that one. But good morning, everybody. Brian Suits here on your Tuesday, on Special Election Tuesday. And let me read you there I was minding my own business, and in fact minding someone else's business, at dinner on Sunday. Dinner, okay, it's 5 p.m. on Sunday, which is a work night and a school night. And I have a ballot in my car that today is the day of a certain special election. And I get this message, quote, families on blah, 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 route number. Due to staffing shortages and transportation, we wanted to provide you with early notification that your student morning and afternoon bus route number blank has been canceled for yesterday. We wanted to give you time to make alternative transportation arrangements in the event your child is late or cannot get to school. They will be excused by your student school. Remember, if your child's route has been canceled, anyway. No, sorry. Sunday at 5, I'm busy getting ready to wind down and go to bed for the night. And my plan B is make a second plan. Okay, so I am plan A. And I mean, you're telling me on Sunday night, oh, look at the budget. I mean, they knew this Friday. That's the reason I mentioned it's because there's a lot of this going around. I'm hearing that from people because they've had such a need for drivers around the Puget Sound that they had to find budget for new drivers and all this. And ours is crappy on a good day. I apologize to people for that.
Is this like a school levy conspiracy theory or something?
I don't know, but I'm really unhappy with what they're doing with the money they have. I mean, if you're saying what you do budget review on Sunday afternoon over the riding mower or something,
we're a few dollars short.
What in the heck? Yeah, and my friend says vote no. Our house payment went up $450 after the last vote. Well, okay, I'm doing that on my way back today. I mean that annoyed me so much. For a couple reasons. Okay, for reason number one is because I dropped the kid off of the Tacoma Mall with a debit card. So that was mistake number one. Mistake number two Smart. Was in the middle of what I was doing to check that, see that on my phone, and remember, oh, yeah, that's right. There's a bigger life here. And I'm being selfish this hour and a half. But that being said, I got to say, my friend introduced me to her marina friends. And, man, I got to say, if you're living at the Narrows Marina on a beautiful day, whatever you're doing, whether you're on a dilapidated boat, you still have a pretty damn good view and great places and all that. So you guys are neat.
Well, look on the bright side. It just freed you up so you and your kid could go out to some college campus and protest the Jews yesterday.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about that. And I mean, that's the only way you can put it. It's so funny. And so we're going to add 7:30. Wait, who are we talking to? Who's our guy? Willauer?
A very, very, very special guest about what's going on at Columbia University.
Fox reporter is going to join us at 7:30 about what's going on in the Ivy League. And I mean, why is it? It's so funny. Why am I not hearing about this in Pullman at Wazoo? Why am I not hearing about it up the hill at Seattle U?
Or Florida schools, for that matter. You should hear Ron DeSantis on this topic. My goodness.
Yeah.
And that guy should have run for president.
I heard something. have you heard anything about Witzaga?
I haven't heard anything from Witzaga about the anti-Semitic protest.
And it's so funny, guys. We had breakfast with my nephew, who's come back to America from South Africa, so he can attend Texas A&M and be in their storied Corps of Cadets in the ROTC program at A&M. He wants that life. So we had a long talk, and he kind of replicated what his sister said about malehood in America right now, and it was just kind of odd what we're calling malehood. But you know what I did, because it's a Tuesday morning and there's all kinds of news, is I put a whole bunch together. We're going to show the receipts. Canadian family receives wrong body. Wait till we get that one. Death threats for a guy who wrote a bad review about Taylor Swift. That's not in there. But here is your morning montage for the 23rd of April, 2024, everybody.
We have a man who is, he has set fire to himself. A man has emblazoned himself.
That one, we got a very clear, there you go.
You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
There's a reason romantic comedies are 2 hours and not 15 minutes. True victory in life is hard.
We are putting housing into the financial sector and instead of thinking of it as a human right.
I am a professor here.
I'm now going to list every American media company that's been allowed to operate in China. Okay, I'm done. They let no media companies in there. It's crazy that we would allow this.
Department. A spokesperson addresses new criminal charges against former UW running back Tylan Tybo Rogers and former safety Diesel Gordon.
Got sick of me and raising these issues and moved me out of the 787 program into this 777 program.
You're looking at live pictures in New York City of Donald Trump's motorcade.
It's about a 20-minute drive between Trump Tower and the court building.
Trump leaving Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue.
They're now making their way across town along 57th Street. They just crossed Park Avenue, making their way up towards Lexington Avenue.
He's heading down the FDR.
To the Manhattan Courthouse on Chamber Street.
Arriving at this intersection of American history with defiance.
He arrived at the intersection of American history where... he put a quarter in the parking meter of destiny.
Come on, Alec, just say free Palestine one time.
So the guy that sounds like he has common sense is a professor of business at New York University named Scott Galloway. He has a new book called The Algebra of Wealth. It sounds fascinating. The guy is my new favorite thinker. He's obviously... a civilizational kind of chap, like my kind of guy. And in talking about what's going on, which, you know, by the way, what these empty-headed kids do and say is none of your business. Doesn't affect our daily life. It just does not. You know what does? Because you have one of those agnostic, God-hating Apple phones.
Excuse me?
Try to text me. G-I-D bless you. And see how it autocorrects.
G-I-D?
Yeah, intentionally misspell God and see what your Apple devil phone does.
Okay, here we go.
shout at the devil.
This is a segment made for radio here.
So you're spell out the letters now. Is that the sound it makes? Can you silence that? There's literally no typewriter on earth that's simulating.
See? When I wrote Gid bless you, it changed it to His bless you.
Really?
Yeah, what was it supposed to do?
With that. The word, like another offering is guide. Literally not a word. G-I-D-E, literally not a word. So I haven't checked my Android, but I haven't checked the Googles. But so anyway, this Scott Galloway guy... With a whole bunch of great points about the fact that young people are, if they're meeting, they're meeting over anger, like over the genocide that the Israelis are doing, and this is just bizarre. There was a thing over the weekend. There was a counter protest against these pro-Gaza, pro-Palestinian people. And one guy, London police, Metropolitan Police, Scotland Yard, the storied Bobbies, stopped a guy. Okay, you have a man wearing a open collar, coat and pant, trousers, and he's wearing He's wearing a kippah on his head. Yeah, it's a Hebrew religious head covering for men. And a British cop doesn't let him cross the street and counter-protest the Gazans because the guy is, quote, openly Jewish. So this is kind of, there's some London street noise and Hong Kong and be-do, 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 but you can hear him here.
Yeah, and at the moment, sir, you are quite openly Jewish. This is a pro-Palestinian mosque.
I'm not accusing you. You hear that? You're openly Jewish. How dare you be openly Jewish? And he actually didn't let the guy cross the street because he was too openly Jewish, and that it was going to create a problem, a bit of a bustle in his hedgerow.
I'm not accusing you of anything, but I'm worried about the reaction to your presence.
You're worried about the reaction to my presence, but it's not my free speech. But I mean, there's no Bill of Rights in Great Britain and the whole thing. But so that exploded because it's a really weird thing to say for a lot of reasons. And I mean, replace that with you're openly black. Sorry, but those KKK people are exclusively white. And I'm sorry, sir, but you're too openly black, so you can't cross the street. I mean, that's effectively, you know, what the chap said.
That anti-Semitism goes to 11.
These go to 11.
It really does. And so the London mayor, Sadiq Khan, is very openly Muslim. And he said, and there are a lot of British MPs were saying, you know, maybe the Home Secretary should get turfed on this one because the London Metropolitan Police is the most high-profile department in that country. And you have a guy saying this, a guy who feels free to say, you're openly Jewish. You can't cross the street and counter-protest. And Sadiq Khan said, oh, no, I find them delightful. And so that's out there in the open. Locally, besides having a beautiful day, Boeing, I'm not sure, yeah, but I think Boeing is reporting revenues today, and Spirit Airlines is already talking about a bloodbath, and I mean, they didn't have a door plug pop off, but here's the thing, you folks at Boeing, you know that if the word gets out not to fly, not to buy that plane, you know where you're driving to right now? That's not going to be there for long. So you know what I'm saying on that one.
You know those bolts that, like, hold the plane together? We're going to go ahead and tighten some of those.
So, yeah. So this guy discussed people. He claimed that people were jumping up and down. Hey, you, where's the 777? Assembly line. Is that up in Everett? That's just 787, right?
Sure.
I think. he was describing what he called as Tarzan joining because people were jumping up and down on bits of 777 to make them fit. And so anyway, you know that's a bad look, folks. But anyway. So the deal in the case of Columbia yesterday, by the way, a lot of riot control cops that intimidate the crap out of college students, but they're all Nazis. You know, that's like their go-to, their default is, well, you're a Nazi if you're enforcing the law and all that. But there was an actual Israeli professor this is on ABC News last night. A professor, an actual Israeli citizen, and it's known at Columbia that he's one of those evil colonizing genocidal Jews. And the irony of people saying that really displays that the history department at Columbia is doing such a bang up job, or whatever high school feeder system they had. So they were blocking people from actually waving their card keys. And I guess Columbia is not an open campus there in the middle of Manhattan. There's gates and things like that.
Night protests now spreading to campuses across the U.S. ABC's Stephanie Ramos at Columbia tonight.
Tonight, college campuses scrambling to handle a growing pro-Palestinian protest movement. Columbia University stepping up campus security and moving classes online. The school's president saying we need a reset to de-escalate the rancor. But today, fresh arrests and tensions boiling over on the first night of Passover. This Israeli assistant professor confronting university officials over being denied access to the main lawn as school officials try to separate protesters.
I am a professor here. I have every right to be everywhere on campus. You cannot let people that support Hamas on campus and me, a professor...
Okay, besides the sense of entitlement on that, he is right. I mean, he's being paid by that university to teach, and he has a card key, and you're going to let him in and all that. But
every right to be everywhere on
campus.
I am a professor here. I have every right to be everywhere on campus. You cannot let people that support Hamas on campus and me, a professor, not go on campus. Let me in now.
So anyway, they actually are supporting Hamas. So that's where you're wrong, Professor. And now this guy, Scott Galloway, economist from New York University, who is pointing out that young people aren't meeting and they're not mating. So there's this.
Breaking down. People aged 30 to 34, 60% of them in 1990 had one child. Now it's 27%. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it. They're not having kids. Young people aren't having sex. They're not meeting. They're not mating. The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day.
You know what, baby? That's so weird. I mean, he's right. You know, out of wedlock births are way down. And that's a good thing. It's not a great indicator, but it is an indicator that what he's saying, that people are meeting and mating, which you need. You need to replace your population, and not illegally, but...
of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day, which lessens household formation.
So that's a thing. It's a concern. But so anyway, he's headed up to here with these punks and their deep, deep knowledge of the Middle East and their free Palestine and the whole thing. And he asks a question that maybe... people are not asking. He makes a couple points, which are good. Okay, here's his basis point for this is, we lose 3,000 guys one day at Pearl Harbor, and we kill 3 million Japanese in 100,000 in one night. Not an atomic bomb either, the firebombing of Tokyo. We lose 3,000 Americans, and we kill a million Afghans. But no one accused us of genocide. It wasn't like, you know, the Navajo or the Arapaho or something. So he has a point about, well, what would we have done if October 7th happened in Texas?
If Mexico had elected a jihadist cartel to run their country and then they incurred into Texas and on a per capita basis killed 35,000 people or the population of the University of Texas, and on the way back took the freshman class at SMU hostage and hid them under tunnels, what would we do? It'd be the great Sonora radioactive parking lot. But Jews are not allowed, and Israel is not allowed to prosecute a war. And they are
Stop me when I'm wrong. He's absolutely correct. If America had suffered proportionally what the Israelis suffered on October 7th, forget about it. Just forget about it. Man, I mean, I'm here to tell you, I I've read about the wrath of America, and then I brought it in 2004. You know, we brought peacemaking in when I went to Bosnia in 1999, and we brought freedom and liberation so you can have an emir again when we freed Kuwait. But man, I'm here to tell you, it wasn't personal. If that had happened in America, I'd have been a part of that. And you're damn right we would have left the great Sonoran glassy desert of 2023, righteously, and so that's where I, you know, but I'm sorry, but you can't help but feel, whether it's Pierce County with Roosters or Columbia or Yale, that they're reaping what they sowed. They sowed and they sowed that, you know, we're tolerating absolutely every kind of aberration, and that you can restrict someone else's First Amendment in the exercise of, or you can have the heckler's veto. And if you tolerate the heckler's veto, you're tolerating this. And so there's, and you think really stupid things like a home is a human right. Shelter is a human right. And I mean, that's where the crazy people took to the Seattle federal building yesterday. And I mean, I'm sorry that I'm a contrarian on this one, but you have no right to a roof over your head. You have no right to broccoli unless you raise it on property you have a right to or control, or you stop the colonizers, or, you know, whatever you want to do. But I mean, I heard this yesterday, and there's, listen, Grants Pass and Boise are very family-oriented towns. Okay, not like Seattle, not like where no one meets and no one mates and no one has kids. More dogs than kids. Dogs are not a civilization. They righteously are keeping the vagrants off their sidewalks so that they have a livable town. They were sued. That is all the way at the Supreme Court now. And no one is making homelessness illegal, okay? No colonizers are doing that. No, or as a West Coast prosecutor says, you can't prosecute your way out of desperation. Okay, whatever led you to being homeless doesn't give you a license to be anti-civilization. Because let's just say that's what it is. If your city has areas where kids can't go, then that's anti-civilization. Sorry.
Housing is a
message. See, that's the shout and response. Housing is a, then you say human right.
Homeless advocates' hope is heard by Supreme Court justices.
Housing is
a message. Homeless advocates' hope is heard by Supreme Court justices.
Homelessness is not a choice. Poverty is not a choice.
Dozens rallied outside Seattle.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit in America. I'm really going to push back on that one right there. Oh, it gets better. But no, here's the thing. I have bad news for all of you. You have no right to expect not to be offended. You have a right to free. You have a First Amendment because people laid their lives down for us to live like this. Memorizing that document, not chanting what you wish would happen. There's what did happen and what you wish would happen. That gap is called the suffer bus, okay? So there's that. And it has an express route from what should happen and what does happen. But housing is not a human right. It's just not. Sad, right? You don't have a right to a gated community, and you don't have a right to a cabin in Clean Elum. No such thing. You have a right to try. Everybody has a right to try. You have a right to be considered for a job with equal access to anyone else, okay? There's that. Back in a second, we'll checking of your taxi right after this, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. We'll curate them and read them post-haste, AM 770, KTTH. AM 770 KTTH. This was, I gotta say, moments, great moments in live radio. This is somewhere between the Hindenburg and I can't think of another great moment.
FDR's fireside chats.
In reacting to live stuff.
I see.
Yeah. So this was the guy that immolated himself.
Oh, gosh.
At the Trump trial, you know, obviously you're a disturbed person. And I think CNN made the wrong call. You just go away from, because the anchor is sitting there thinking that she has the the thesaurus, for the lexicon for this one. And do you see my old-timey throwback Cuban brewery baseball league shirt today?
I do now.
What is emblazoned on the front?
It looks like a polar bear.
It is. Polar. Cerveceria Polar. It's emblazoned on the front.
I see that.
You see? Wait, what are you wearing a garment that's emblazoned with anything?
What's the tie-in to self-immolation
here? Oh, you'll hear it. I mean, there's correct words and there's incorrect words, but...
He has set fire to himself. A man has emblazoned himself. We have a man who is lit. He has set fire to himself. A man has emblazoned himself outside of the courthouse just now. Our cameras are turning right now. A man has now lit himself on fire outside of the courthouse in Manhattan, where we are waiting for history to be made. A full jury panel is gone. We are watching a man who is fully emblazoned in the front of the courthouse today.
That's twice now.
I think that's the wrong
word. We are watching multiple.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why we say that about something that's on a garment, but that is the correct context. Is my shirt is emblazoned with, you shouldn't be on live TV doing this.
Decorated, adorned.
Yeah.
Fire is breaking out around his body and person. We have seen an arm that has been visible that has been engulfed in total flames. There is chaos that is happening. People are wondering right now if people are in danger.
I'm looking. Wait, how do you know that? Anyway,
I'm reading the minds of everybody around.
No,
they all tell me.
And that's the thing. I have the ability to gaze into people's hearts and tell their innocence or guilt or look at their face tats.
It was a mistake. You are correct, for the cameraman to pan over to the guy setting himself on fire.
Yeah. And also, this individual is not equipped for reacting in real time to what their eyeballs are.
Right. And think about what happens at sports games. Inevitably, a couple times a year,
if they're playing sports ball,
some crazy fan runs onto the field. And what does the cameraman do? Doesn't show the fan. You know why? Because it encourages more of that behavior. Yeah. And so when you're panning over to the guy who's quote unquote emblazoned, he's
emblazoned himself.
You're sending the message to other people who have a few screws loose. Hey, I can get full media coverage if I go to this public event and douse myself in gasoline and light a match.
And beclown myself. And by the way, so speaking of sports ball, I didn't know this, but there's a legendarily incompetent umpire named Angel Hernandez or Angel Rodriguez who's back now.
He's notorious and infamous.
Yeah, and there's a great compilation of he was doing Astros at the Rangers. And the batter, it picks up, the batter's 2-1. He's got 2 walks. He's got 2 more strikes to go. And the calls are just so bad. And evidently, this is at a time, you know, where the NFL will use video to review, a officiating crew's overall performance. And if a crew, if there's enough demonstrably bad calls that were even, you know, not reversed with video, they'll get a week off. They'll skip that big foray to Vegas and all that. But it's evidently not in MLB, where the umpires are an entity unto themselves. Well, the Yankees manager was kicked out yesterday for not. I mean, this is worse than a bad call. This is. Umpire just making something up.
Yeah, this was Aaron Boone who was given the boot,
and a Yankees batter was hit. He didn't swing at the ball. He was hit, and so he takes his base. And I forgot what the stink was. I mean, an Oakland A's at the Yankees, an A's batter was hit. But the Yankees thought he swung at the ball and tipped the ball into himself, but he did not. And so the referee just goes right to, if you keep talking back to me, I'm going to eject you. So he's being the ref is being he's being lampooned, but the crowd in New York is not real kind.
Stadium saw manager Aaron Boone ejected 5 pitches into the game. Unreal. Started when the A's leadoff batter was hit by a pitch. He was clearly plunked on the foot, but the Yankees, they thought he swung at the ball. That in turn led Boone to replay his disapproval before a warning from the home plate umpire.
And then it clearly gets that right foot.
Or you saw him making that call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do.
And that's the umpire. The umpire is getting into it with the manager. This is an MLB umpire. This is not the guy that we're talking about that makes these legendary bad calls. But you've already lost. If you're doing this, if you're yelling loud enough that the crowd can hear you, and then you tell that manager, okay, now shut up or you're gone.
Check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. Got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay,
Hunter.
That is a red blanket to a bull. I mean, you're in a crowd and you're hearing your manager being told if you have anything else to say, you're gone.
You're gone.
So, of course, you chirp. You chirp at the umpire.
Okay, Hunter.
Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear, there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything.
Well, this is not the hottest iron in the fire. I'm just saying that you can tell in that dynamic, the umpire has all the authority, all the power. He can affect a game. And you yell that in front of a crowd, in front of Philadelphia or New Yorkers, and you know you're going to get that. So there's that. Anyway, back to housing being a human right.
Anyway, 0-2.
Yeah, totally. But first, you know, I'm with you. What you said, Greg, is was my frustration. Alec Baldwin killed his director of photography, but I feel sorry for him because any celebrity. In this day and age in New York, I feel bad for the guy because, okay, here's a woman who just wants to hear him say free, people who recognize you think that your time is their time. And so here, a woman, Alec Baldwin is minding his own business, getting getting a coffee in a coffee shop in New York, and a woman, and this one that I have, I did so much editing. I took out all of her F bombs on this one, and that took it from a minute 30 to 30 seconds.
Alec, can you please say free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time. No jail time, Alec.
Sorry. Is that too soon? Too soon for Helena jokes? I mean, not jokes, but so she barely knows why he was in the news last month. But he was found, not guilty. Or he was found guilty. Listen to me talk. I don't know. He was found guilty of involuntary homicide, but didn't get any jail time. But she didn't even know that much. But
why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec?
Sorry.
No jail time, Alec.
Excuse me.
You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine. Just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone. I swear. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. Come on, Alec. Just say free Palestine one.
And that's the worker in the coffee place is trying to intervene. He's not really trying to intervene with the woman. He's trying to get Mr. Baldwin to get out fast, please.
One time. One time, just one time, please, and I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Please say it.
And what I edited out is a bunch of free F-word Palestine.
She asked nicely.
From her, except for the things I edited out.
Israel, Zionism.
And keep in mind, he has an anger management problem. I mean, he killed the director of photography.
One time.
Could you give me one quick favor?
And he slaps it out of her hand. So, and I don't know if that's, you should, wasn't he sentenced to anger management or something? I mean, I would maybe add that on there, but I mean, he's gonna have to lawyer up again. But when a celebrity hits the phone out of your hand, get a lawyer and make him pay or whatever you want to do. Just maybe don't be annoying, but there's an annoying woman, gets a phone slapped out of her hand. More of that, please. So we'll be back in just a second, and I promise we did curate some text, so we'll do the actual checking of the texting here in just a couple minutes. And so, yeah, go to Pierce County, get a rooster. And don't worry, they're not trained. They don't do like obstacle courses to learn how to cockfight. But there's some breeds you should stay away from my experience. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.
You are worthless, Alec Barrett!
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Boeing's earnings will be released pre-market opening tomorrow. And tomorrow is Wednesday, is the 24th. May 1st is a week away.
You do the math.
And I am, for the record, I'm not doing any preparations. Nor am I even going to acknowledge May the 4th be with you. That's the ultimate nerd day. To even know that, I'm ashamed. But anyway, that's next Friday, I guess.
Nerd alert!
Or is it? Actually, it's May 4th. Please tell me it's a Saturday, right? That works out. Wednesday the 1st.
Why are you doing all this math?
Because I don't want to have to say that next week. I'm trying to undork myself.
I can't let the man continue with fuzzy math.
I have someone I believe that doesn't deserve a dork, and that they would really really appreciate me undorking, unbedorking myself, on stuff. Let's see if any of you can guess the year. And put on your internet hat.
Hey there, who are you?
I'm Jeff Bezos.
And what is your claim to fame?
I'm the founder of Amazon.com.
Where did you get an idea for Amazon.com?
Well, 3 years ago, I was in New York City working for a quantitative hedge fund when I came across the startling statistic that web usage was growing at 2,300% a year. So I decided I would try and find a business plan that made sense in the context of that growth. And I picked books as the first best product to sell online.
Nerd alert!
What's wrong with DoorDash for cats? I think it's a $1 million idea, frankly. When did you first become conscious of Amazon conscious?
Around like 01.
What was the phrase Schwarzenegger phrase. Terminator.
Uh-huh.
When Skynet became
went live or something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna say, it would be 99, because I was here. I was starting here, and I was working at a startup in Totem Lake, and we were looking at different things that they did, and they were pretty new. And so this was 1997 when they caught up to a very geeky little bald guy. And by the way, that's talk about revenge. The fact that he was bald in his 20s, haha. You can be as rich as you want, bro. But we have the receipts. We have the video.
Hi there, who are you?
I'm Jeff Bezos.
So there you go. a man of vision. Good for him. I don't begrudge anyone making all the money in the world. And that whole deal, but it's just funny to go back and it's like seeing all the old Bill Gates stuff when he's trying to explain an operating system.
Are you bringing this up because there's a rumor that Bezos is buying Howard Stern's Palm Beach mansion for a cool $300 million?
Hadn't heard that.
My goodness,
Howard Stern. Well, I'm bringing it up now because Howard Stern has a $300 million house.
Truth.
Because the arc of the universe does not bend towards justice is why he stopped being relevant a long time ago.
Well, he did one of the greatest career pivots of all time. He achieved fame and fortune through being a complete and utter shock jock. did the most disgusting stuff on air for 20 years and now is like tries to pretend to be highbrow radio with these in-depth interviews about celebrity childhood and what they're currently facing in terms of their struggles.
Yeah, you can go ahead and try that, serious people. But so anyway, let's get back to Amy Hagopian. She's at the UW School. She's a professor emeritus, meaning she has forever tenure. Amy Hagopian is a radical peacenik. You learn at her UW page that war is a public health issue because she's a professor emeritus, health systems and population health. That's why she's out of Seattle. Homelessness is a human right rally yesterday. War is, of course, toxic to health. War produces death, disables people, and erodes infrastructure. all we can do is prevent conflict sooner. She's been a longtime high-profile lefty in Seattle. And as I recall, even her kids are love cameras and the left. Armed conflict is a political phenomenon. Politicians decide to use militarism as a solution to problems. Public health needs to step up much earlier when we see militarism running rampant and talk about how to deploy resources differently to achieve peace. I think we have some causation problems already. Our government recently passed a $1 trillion defense budget that included support for Saudi Arabia. Saudi weapons are now being used to bomb poverty-stricken Yemen. One of our bombs was dropped on a school bus carrying 40 children. Public health should be saying, no, that's not okay. Actually, the targeting consultants should be saying to the Saudi Air Force, you're wasting our bombs. So there's that. So she was interviewed by Q13 because she's one of the people at the call and response. Housing is now you say human right. Honestly, it tells me so much that you think you're born. Besides a right to try and a right to yearn freedom, nothing is a given. And I mean, you have to think like that housing is a human right for you to take for granted the United States.
Message homeless advocates hope is heard by Supreme Court justices.
Housing is a...
No, we got it. Of course she's there. Let's bring all the lefties out there. Because there are people who really will look you in the eye and say a warm jacket is a human right. A meal is a human right. They really will. That food in your belly is a human right.
Nation's highest court weighed in on the legality of local laws used against people who camp in public areas.
There is no humanity in this state. They're basically trying to turn us into criminals.
Chanel Horner has been unhoused on and off since.
And here's the thing. No one's trying to turn you into a criminal. They're just like me driving up I-5. There's a maximum speed limit that I can drive and reasonably not get a ticket. Though it's no guarantee if you're driving recklessly or whatever. But anyway, no one's trying to criminalize poverty or homelessness. These are chants of the left.
2012, she lives in her vehicle and is constantly forced to move to avoid being towed, which she says has happened before.
It's really difficult to find anywhere to actually... Where it's okay.
A deepening challenge as the debate sparked in the city of Grant Pass, Oregon, who appealed a lower court's decision saying it was cruel and unusual punishment to fine or arrest unhoused people for sleeping in parks or sidewalks.
Our economic system is failed. We are putting housing into the financial sector and instead of thinking of it as a human right.
Amy
That's the professor emeritus of health outcomes, Amy Hagopian. See, a roof over your head is supposed to be a human right. Why are you driving to work for something that should be a human right?
We are putting housing into the financial sector and instead of thinking of it as a human right.
Amy Hagopian, a public health professor.
How dare you ask what you're asking for that 3-bedroom split ranch on Lake Sammamish? How dare you, sir? That's a human right.
Professor says she's done research on homelessness and says sweeps must stop.
We didn't displace those people. We just removed any hope of shelter.
Homeless people are not criminals. We are human beings, right?
Scared.
Shattered.
A
feeling Xander and Alexander can't shake as they too recently became unhoused and fear what could happen if other cities take up similar laws.
Well, sorry that we pay our taxes and we want a clean street and a clean sidewalk and a park where we can take our kids. How dare we? How dare we earn money and return some to our civilization in the form of taxes that we hope will be distributed to the pursuit of enforcing the law, driving the school bus, you know, whatever. Sorry, but civilization, coming together as a civilization, is a very natural human right. And then being an aberration in that civilization, I say banishment. That's what I say. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.